All right, now we are. Oh, I started. Yes, now we're recording. I know what I'm doing.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This
Did
is part two of
it's part two.
the worst fucking case I think I have ever covered.
I agree. Did you like part one? I didn't.
It's okay, neither did I, and I did all the research.
I did all the editing.
Yeah. I'm sorry for your ears.
You better be.
Well, I was mostly talking to the listeners, but I guess I'm sorry about yours.
You fucking better be. I Don't mind us having a conversation in gibberish.
Please keep listening to the podcast.
Yes, please. We don't always cover shit like this. My episodes are mostly funny.
Yeah, hers are actually pretty fun. You haven't covered anything too fucked up yet.
Yeah, so we needed to for our very special episode of episode 20.
Yeah. It's the coming back. It's all right. It's fine. Who are we?
Fuck! God damn it! We're literally recording this the same day of part one, and you think I would have remembered this shit, but clearly I didn't.
You're special.
I am. We are. Oh, Jesus, I almost just announced everything. I am Sydney.
And I'm Madison, and this is Bitches and Witches.
Where we condemn the
Part.
forks to hell.
Fucking love that so much.
What?
I just love that so much, the forks. I forget how we came to that.
I was explaining that there's whenever I try to call someone a dork over text messaging, there's a
Oh, wait.
50-50 chance that it's gonna autocorrect to fork.
Yes. Yeah, that's how it got there. We wanted to just give you a happy little background before I make you all hate life.
Here's a happy little background.
Makes me so happy.
Well, that's good. That's what he's here for. I love him.
That's the one thing of happiness I will ever feel for the rest of the day.
I'm very happy I decided to bring down Baby Yoda.
Yeah, that was really needed.
That's good.
It's 1965. Okay. So the neighborhood kids would come and they would pay 5 cents to further abuse and mutilate Sylvia.
Great.
Yeah, which is once again, I just, how, what the, how, these kids are so fucking evil. They would help Gertrude tie her up, they would place her into the bath with scalding hot water and proceed to rub salt into her open wounds. And they would shove rags into her mouth to stifle her screams. A while later, Gertrude called Sylvia into the kitchen, claiming that she had branded her own daughters, and so now Gertrude was going to brand her.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah. Gertrude then proceeded to carve the words, "I'm a prostitute and I like it," into Sylvia's stomach with a heated needle. When Gertrude couldn't finish because she had to go to the store, she had one of the neighbor boys finish that up, and she took Jenny to the store with her.
I mean, at least she didn't brand Jenny.
Yeah, thankfully, thank God, but still, poor Jenny. I can't imagine how she's feeling.
For real.
Later in trial, he would insist that he used, quote, short light etchings to finish before him and 10-year-old Shirley led Sylvia back into the basement where they tried to burn the letter S into her left breast, but they fucked up and the deep scar ended up looking more like a 3 than an S.
Why?
It's like, yeah, first of all, why would you do that? But also, but two, how the fuck do you fuck up a 3, or sorry, fuck up an S so badly that it looks like a 3?
Exactly.
Gertrude would then taunt Sylvia that she would never be able to get married because of the words on her stomach. When Coy asked Sylvia what she was going to do now because she couldn't get married, she replied, quote, "I guess there's nothing I can do," end quote. Later that day, she was forced to show these markings off to the fucking disgusting neighborhood kids where Gertrude claimed that there was a, quote, sex party.
I'm sorry, a what?
Yeah. So basically, they all just fucking sexually assaulted her. Yeah. You ready for me to break your heart further?
Oh god, yeah, so excited.
That night, Sylvia told Jenny, quote, "I know you don't want me to die, but I'm going to die. I can feel it." This is just so... I'm so sad and I'm so angry. The next day, Gertrude woke Sylvia and made her write a letter to her parents explaining that she had ran away with a group of boys who then turned on her and beat her and mutilated her. This was meant to be a way to explain all of her open sores, scars, and other mutilations without getting Gertrude in trouble. Later that night, Sylvia heard Gertrude discussing her plan to have her son John and Jenny blindfold Sylvia, take her to the forest, and leave her there to die. Like, she was sitting there telling her son John, "Okay, tomorrow I want you and Jenny to take Sylvia's younger sister, have her blindfold her older sister, and then you two go into the forest and leave her there to die."
Jenny is 15. Like, yeah.
Jenny's 15, Sylvia is 16.
Do not make a 15-year-old essentially be an accessory to murder.
Right? Don't fuck somebody up that much. I'm like, So, October 25th, 1965, Sylvia tries to escape the basement, but due to the malnutrition and injuries, Gertrude was able to catch Sylvia before she got off of the property and got her back inside. Like, she was so close. Yeah. Gertrude gave Sylvia some toast tea because I guess she decided she wanted to be fucking nice, but also fuck her. But Sylvia wasn't able to eat it due to her extreme dehydration. Gertrude then forced the toast down Sylvia's throat and, oh my god, would hit Sylvia in the face with a curtain rod so hard that sections of the rod were bent to right angles.
I have no words. How do you... Literal 90-degree angles?
Literal 90-degree angles.
How?
I cannot imagine how fucking hard she was having to hit this poor girl. And it was in the face.
Her face literally had to have been shattered.
Yeah. Coy then took the rod from Gertrude and hit Sylvia one last time, which ended up leaving her unconscious, and then Gertrude just dragged her down the stairs to the basement.
Bitch! You have literally broken her face and your curtain rod at the same time. Let her sleep on the fucking floor where she passed out.
That would be too nice of Gertrude to do. This is gonna make you angry, but also so fucking sad. Once Sylvia regained consciousness, she tried to make as much noise as she possibly could by banging on the walls of the basement and screaming as loud as she possibly could in hopes that one of the neighbors would come and rescue her. A neighbor later testified that they did in fact hear banging and someone screaming for help, but that it eventually stopped, so she decided not to call the police because she thought that it was either just some kids playing or that somebody else had handled it.
No. Nobody else handled it, ever. Even if somebody did, nobody handled it. You do it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know about you and when you were playing, but my mom and my grandparents would both get super mad at me if when I was outside and I was playing with my friends, if I started to scream help. Like, they would literally come outside and be like, stop screaming that. Somebody's gonna think there's actually something wrong.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You only scream that if there's something wrong.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. When I am an adult and I have my own children and all of that, if I hear somebody screaming for help, I'm either, one, going to investigate or send my partner out to investigate while I call the fucking cops.
Yeah.
And don't also, just...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just... Never assume that somebody else handled it, because chances are nobody else did.
Yeah, and also, teach your fucking children not to scream help as a joke, because then this shit happens.
Teach your children not to be a Gertrude.
Yeah. Don't even name your kids Gertrude.
True.
But if anybody else has the name Gertrude, we love you. Unless you're like this Gertrude, then fuck you.
Yes.
The morning of October 26th, so literally the next day, Sylvia was not able to speak coherently or move her limbs correctly. Like, it got described as, like, very jagged motions, and she just had, like, no control over her limbs.
I imagine, like, a zombie shambling around.
Yeah, although I also kind of think of, like, have you seen The Grudge?
No, but I know how she moves around.
Yeah, like, just very stiff and jerky-like. That's also what I like. I imagine a mixture of The Grudge and zombies together. And that's how she was. And keep in mind, she's fucking a skeleton because she doesn't eat. She doesn't get fed.
Yeah.
Gertrude moved Sylvia up to the kitchen and propped her back against the wall and attempted to feed her a donut and a glass of milk, but Sylvia wasn't able to properly hold the glass to her lips because...
She's not even going to hold that in her stomach. The second it hits her stomach, she's going to throw up.
Yeah, but also, you know, unfortunately, Sylvia's dying.
Like, yeah, obviously.
So, of course, she can't properly hold anything. So Gertrude decided to throw Sylvia to the floor in frustration and then just took her back down to the basement. Shortly thereafter, Sylvia became delirious and was only moaning and groaning. Paula told Sylvia to recite the alphabet, but Sylvia was only able to recite the first four letters. She couldn't even raise herself off of the floor. Paula told Sylvia that if she didn't get up, she would long jump her, which I, like, tried to look up, but, like, even that didn't make sense. But just... She's gonna fucking abuse her more, so...
Hold on, I'm Googling.
Okay.
You can keep going, I'm still listening.
No, you're good. Sylvia ended up defecating on herself because obviously this girl has been abused so much to the point where she has no control of her bodily functions, but also when you die, all of the muscle, like, you, dead bodies shit themselves every single time, because, like, everything just, you know, you just, you die, everything relaxes, and so whatever in your colon just comes on out, because there's nothing, like, holding it back in there, and, you know, this girl is literally in the process of dying, so, of course, that happens. And so in response, Gertrude told her to clean herself up.
She's dying. She cannot.
Yeah. And then later that afternoon, all of her abusers just crowded into the basement, and she was jerkingly pointing her fingers at the face. Like, it's assumed that she was, so her hand was, her arm was moving jerkingly, but it, they assume that she was pointing at the faces that she recognized, because she was, like, naming them. Like, she, like, pointed at Gertrude and said, "You're Gertie." And then she did it to somebody else, but I don't remember their name.
So, it looks like long jumping is, it didn't make a lot of sense, but essentially a long jump is a track and field move when you go from a running start and then see, like, how far you can jump. So it almost sounds like she was gonna jump on her.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, yeah, I saw that too, but even that, like, yeah, like you said, doesn't make sense. And when she called Gertrude Gertie, that, like, just angered Gertrude more, and she, like, just yelled at her, like, "You know who I am, knock it off." A couple of minutes later, Sylvia attempted to eat a rotten pear that was given to her, but she didn't have the strength to even bite down on, like, it's a rotten pear. That should be so easy to bite down on, but she has no strength. I cannot reiterate this enough. She is literally dying right now. Mm-hmm. This girl is in the process of dying. Mm-hmm. And she does not have the strength to even bite into a pear. And she then explains that she could feel her teeth loosening. And poor Jenny had no idea what was going on. She explained to Sylvia that, you know, her front teeth were knocked out when she was 7, which I guess was true. Great. In an attempt to quote unquote clean Sylvia, John hosed Sylvia off with the hose in the basement, per Gertrude's request.
No.
Sylvia, like, this girl, she literally fought so hard. Like, this is, because this girl, literally, in the process of dying, and she is so weak, and she still attempts to escape by trying to crawl up the stairs, but because she is so weak, she just collapses before she even gets on the stairs. And this, you know, Gertrude was at the top of the stairs and saw this, and this angered her so much that she came down and stomped on Sylvia's head.
Great.
And that was when Sylvia stopped breathing.
Wonderful.
In an attempt to clean Sylvia up, Stephanie gave Sylvia a warm bubble bath. But this was when Stephanie realized that Sylvia wasn't breathing and started to give her mouth to mouth. Gertrude was positive that Sylvia was faking being dead and was just screaming about how she was dead and, like, telling everybody in the house that she was dead. Which, like, one, no, she's not. She's just a walking, like, she's just walking skin and bones. You fucking stomped on her head. She has stopped breathing for multiple minutes. Like, you can't, like, I don't know about you guys. I can't fake being dead for more than, like, a couple of seconds, maybe a minute max.
I can't even go a minute.
Yeah, like, I can't hold my breath that long. I need water. Hold on. So, Koi ended up coming back to the house at 5:30 and went down into the basement, where he found Stephanie crying and holding Sylvia's lifeless body, which is so fucked up to me. I don't understand this. Gertrude fucking struck Sylvia's body with a book and while screaming "Faker" repeatedly.
She's not faking!
Gertrude then told Koi that he needed to go and call the police, but that he had to go to a payphone to make the call, which just...
Why? They're gonna get there regardless.
I know, and I'm like, it's not like phone call tracking was a thing back then in the 60s.
Exactly.
Oh my god. So, when the police arrived, they found Sylvia's lifeless, beaten, malnourished body in one of the bedrooms, lying on a completely soiled mattress. And Gertrude handed the police officers the note that she had made Sylvia write. Gertrude told the police that Sylvia had ran away and that Sylvia had returned to them in this condition, bare-chested, clutching the note, and that Gertrude had been tending to Sylvia all day, trying to clean her up and help her get better. Which, yeah, fucking right, bitch. Like, you are the reason why this poor girl is dead. Fuck you. Own your shit.
Exactly.
I think that is genuinely the thing that has pissed me off the most about, like, just doing this, but also just anything about true crime, is the fucking assholes who all of the evidence is pointing to they did it, but they just won't own it. Like, obviously, don't murder somebody. Do not do these horrible, violent, criminal acts. If you're going to, own your fucking shit.
Yeah.
Own your shit all throughout life. Like, that is the biggest thing that I will instill in my children, and I hope that everybody, like, takes this. Own your fucking shit no matter what you do in life. Just own your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it can easily be proven that you're lying. Sorry, I went on, like, a little rampage there. I'm so angry. Paula was clutching a Bible and told the officers that Sylvia's death was meant to happen, and then looked at Jenny and said very calmly that if Jenny wanted to stay with them, they would treat her like their own sister.
No, you won't. And Sylvia's death wasn't meant to happen. It only happened because you beat the shit out of her.
Yeah. No, fuck you. You fucking pregnant ass whore. I hate her. Once again, I'm going to reiterate, nothing wrong with being pregnant or being pregnant young, being a teen mom. None of that I care about. This person is just trash, so therefore everything that they do is trash.
Yes.
Jenny was able to pull one of the officers over and whispered to them that if they could get her out, she would tell them everything that happened.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, obviously, the officers took Jenny out and she told them literally everything. And because of her testimony, they had enough evidence to arrest Gertrude, three of her children, the two boyfriends of her oldest daughters, and then five neighborhood kids who had all taken part in beating and eventually killing Sylvia.
Good.
The fucking neighborhood kids, however, were released back to their parents, but would have to appear in court and give a statement. Like, why the fuck are you releasing them to their parents? Keep them in jail with the rest of the scum.
Exactly.
And by the scum, I am meaning everybody who took part in this thing.
Exactly.
Not saying if you're in jail, you're a scum. At first, Gertrude denied everything except for making Sylvia sleep in the basement because When Sylvia, but make, sorry, hold on. Except for making Sylvia in the basement when she started wetting the bed because Gertrude didn't want her mattress ruined. Bitch, get a mattress covering and then take the damn girl to therapy.
Exactly.
Or just don't abuse her. Like, it is a... Children who are still wetting the bed, like, past the developmental age that they're supposed to, especially when it's a teenager, they are doing that because they are being abused.
Yeah.
And your body takes... Your body, like when you are abused, your body takes count of that, and your body is what holds all of that in. And that is why kids pee the bed. It's because they're being fucking abused. Like, if you're claiming, like, oh, she just all of a sudden started peeing the bed, take her to fucking therapy then, and also get a mattress covering. They're dirt fucking cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Gertrude would also get really agitated when the officers would further question her because Sylvia's internal damage didn't match the story that Gertrude was telling them. And so they knew that she was fucking lying.
Good.
And also, you know, they have a little Jenny there whose sister had just died telling them everything that happened.
Exactly.
They know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The autopsy report came back saying that Sylvia had over 150 wounds on her body, was extremely malnourished, she had muscle damage, just a shit ton of bruises, cuts, and burns. Oh God, this is really, really gross. So, hold on to whatever you have to.
Baby
her
Yoda.
Fingernails... had been bent backwards. I hate you. That's so fucking weird that they made Baby Yoda have, like, legit baby noises.
He makes legit baby noises in the show.
Oh, I haven't watched The Mandalorian.
It is amazing.
Sylvia was also missing the top layer of skin on her face, neck, chest, and her right knee and the back of her right knee. Dude, stop. We're at a very serious point.
But he's making me feel better because that is disgusting. How is somebody missing the top layer of skin on their fucking face?
I mean, did you hear that all the shit they did to her? No, I agree. It's all gross. The official cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head, but obviously malnourishment and all that other stuff. It plays a part of it.
Yeah.
Gertrude, Paula, and John were going to be tried for first-degree murder, but Stephanie's charges were dropped due to insufficient evidence, which is just all fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
She did, however, agree to testify against her family at the trial, so cool. She did one good thing. No gold star for her. Should have fucking called the police. So Richard Howard, who was Stephanie or Paula's boyfriend, I can't remember who Coy was dating, but whatever. And Coy were charged with premeditated malice. Gertrude's quote defense, if you could even call it that because it's such bullshit, was that she wasn't responsible for the kids, but that her kids were responsible of the other kids because she was too depressed to take control over the house. So it was the children's fault and not hers.
I have been so depressed that I can't get out of bed. I got out of bed. I talked to people that I needed to talk to for school shit. I took care of my dogs and my chickens. You can do shit.
But also, I don't care how depressed you are. You are the adult of the house. Therefore, they are under your protection, supposed to be under your supervision. You take fucking accountability for those children, and anything that happens under that roof, doesn't matter who does it, it is your fault because you are the adult taking care of minors.
Exactly.
So you can fuck off with that.
Exactly.
The trial and jury thingy when they get together, I'm so upset I can't even think of what it is and I didn't write it down, lasted for a total of 17 days, and Gertrude was convicted of first-degree murder. Richard, Coy, and John were all convicted for manslaughter. Gertrude and Paula were both given life sentences, but during Paula's retrial, her conviction was brought down to manslaughter, and her sentence was taken down from life to 2 to 21 years.
You don't accidentally beat someone until they die. That is not manslaughter. That is...
Yeah, no.
Maybe. Maybe second degree murder.
Yeah. I think the only reason why they brought it down to manslaughter rather than first degree murder was because technically Gertrude gave the final blow that actually killed, like that killed Sylvia. And Paula just abused her, which obviously still is fucked up. I don't agree. She should have been charged with just manslaughter. Like, she knew what she was doing. She could have stepped in at any point, but she didn't. But I think that if I'm thinking about it as, like, what I'm assuming the legal system would look at it is like, technically she didn't give the killing blow.
Yeah, that's fair.
Still all horribly fucked up, and she deserves to rot in jail for the rest of her life, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. She served 3 years of her sentence and then was released.
No. She should have served 16, because that's how long...
I think they should have stuck with the life sentence, because... Sylvia's life was taken away. Paula's life should have been taken away, too.
Same.
Coy, Richard, and I'm assuming John, but I couldn't see exactly where John went. So, were sentenced to 18 months in a juvenile detention center, which...
No.
I think it should have started in a juvenile detention center, and then once they turned 18, should have gone to prison for life, but, you know.
Yep, same.
Later, Richard would have a mental breakdown because I guess he finally realized the weight of what he had done. He ended up becoming a heavy, heavy-ass fucking smoker because of this. And then died from lung cancer at 21. So,
thank you, karma. Oh, thank you, karma.
But also, how fucking crazy is, like, think about how much he fucking smoked to die from lung cancer at 21.
Like, a freaking chimney.
Yeah, oh my god. Fucking loser got what he deserved. Coy was in and out of jail for literally the rest of his life, and then died at 56 due to a heart attack. I wish that had been sooner.
Yeah, but heart attacks are painful.
Yeah, I really, really hope he suffered.
Good.
During Gertrude's retrial, she was still charged for first-degree murder, but her sentence was changed to 18 to life. And she went on to be a model prisoner working in the sewing room, and the other inmates called her mom.
No.
Which is fucking disgusting.
The other inmates should know that she killed a kid.
Yeah. Gertrude's parole came up in 1985, and she ended up changing her name to Nadine von Fussen. Or Fossen, whatever. I don't fucking care. Fuck this bitch.
Of course she did.
Which, like, I'm sorry. I do not think that if you have been convicted of a crime, especially as serious of a crime as fucking first-degree murder, you should never, ever, ever be allowed to change your name.
Yep.
Like, sorry, you fucked up. You're stuck with this name, and everybody will know what you did for the rest of time.
Yep.
A petition with about 4,500 signatures was going around to keep Gertrude in prison, where she rightfully fucking belonged. But the court system fucked up, failed Sylvia and her family, and just fucking failed, and granted her parole.
Oh my god.
Right? Once she was granted parole, she moved to Iowa, where she lived for 5 years until she died of lung cancer in 1990.
Loser.
Right, but you should have fucking died in prison with no access to medical care.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that lung cancer was horribly difficult, which I know it is. I have seen somebody that I love die firsthand because of lung cancer, and it looks horribly painful. So, fucking suck it, bitch.
What about... sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm about to finish up. So, Paula also moved to Iowa after she was released so she could be close to her mom, changed her name, and then became a fucking teacher. This is why I say the public school system fails children all the time. Because this bitch, I don't fucking care what her name was. It could have been fucking Elmo or Big Bird. She never should have been able to become a teacher.
Yep.
And also, I didn't know, like, how shitty of a background check are you performing? Although, like, granted, I've never ran a background check, but, like, I'm sorry, just because you change your name doesn't mean you get a completely new fucking identity.
Yep.
So, whatever, fuck it. The school fucking failed the first time. They did end up finding out about her past and did fire her, so cool. They don't get a golden star either. Like, she never should have been able to be a fucking teacher.
Agreed.
Never should have had that right. John ended up changing his name to John Blake, worked several different jobs, and eventually became a fucking minister.
That's disgusting.
He would later go on to say he takes full responsibility of what he did, and that he should have been given a harder sentence.
Yeah.
I'm glad we can agree on one thing.
Yeah, you should have. And the only reason he agrees with that is because he didn't get it, and they can't try him again.
Exactly. Like, literally, guarantee, if he had still been in prison, then it would have been like, oh, I should have been given a lighter sentence. Like, you know, I know what I did was wrong, and, like, I'm so sorry. Blah, blah, blah. But of course, when you're fucking out and fucking free, of course you can say, oh, I think I should have been given a harder sentence for literally taking away a 16-year-old girl's life.
Yep.
None of these people should have ever been able to leave prison. They should have had a fucking miserable life because they took away a little girl's life.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. I believe in prison reform. I think we should reform prisoners. But no, not these people. They fucking deserve the absolute worst shit that can ever possibly happen to a human being. I hate everything.
Same.
They should not have been able to go on and live, like, even a semi-normal life because That was taken away from Sylvia, and she had no choice about it.
Exactly.
They had a fucking choice.
Exactly.
Jenny went on to grow up and get married and have kids. She said that she never blamed her parents for what happened. You know, like, they were just trying to do the best that they could, and, you know, it was a shitty situation that truly nobody could have ever predicted. So I'm glad that she at least was able to heal as much as a person can possibly heal from that, and that she held the true monsters accountable, you know, and didn't blame her parents, because I feel like it would be very, very easy to blame her parent, like, for her to blame her parents, especially with how young she was.
Yeah.
I'm sure for a while, like, she blamed her parents, and, like, it took a lot of therapy for her to get to that point of being able to not blame them anymore, but...
Yeah, because it's really easy to say, you put me in there and you wouldn't take me away.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's the case. I know that they eventually made, like, a movie about what happened. I think it's called, like, An American Murder or something like that. Again, I was just so upset and disturbed by all of this. Like, I really, like, I just stopped. But in 2001, there was a memorial erected for Sylvia in Indianapolis, and it's a beautiful memorial, and this poor girl did not deserve anything that happened to her, and it's heartbreaking.
I'm happy her sister got to see it, though, see the memorial get put up.
I'm glad that Jenny was able to get out of it and live as normal of a life as she could.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It really is. Like, and I know I keep repeating that. I'm just so upset. Like, this was a hard case to do. I had to, like, I mean it when I say I had to take a lot of breaks, and I'm honestly glad that we had stopped doing the podcast for so long, because it was really fucking me up. Like, doing this case and trying to have it done by when we were originally going to do it was really fucking me up.
I just want to let you know, I have no fingernails left because of how upset I am from this case.
That's fair. At least they are not bent backwards.
Oh, God. For those of you that don't know, when I am angry or I have anxiety, I pick at my nails until they are just nubs. So now I have nubs.
You're a nubber.
Yes, but not everyone knows.
What?
What? What did you say?
I said, you're a nubber now.
Oh, I thought you said, yeah, I remember. I was like, yes, but not everyone knows that.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the fuck are you saying, bro?
Wow, we're super smart.
We're just traumatized now.
Oh yeah, we're super, super good at what we do.
I'm gonna need to go back to every week in therapy now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised after that case.
But, yeah, so I'm sorry, and I hope I will never ever have to cover a case this fucking brutal again. Well, I don't think there is a case worse than this.
Yeah, I doubt it.
At least done by a female.
Yeah.
If there is, I'm not covering it because this is awful.
Well, if your ears are bleeding as well, you can follow us on Instagram.
B.witchespod.
On Twitter.
@and_witches.
Join our podcast group. Facebook group.
You can find it at Bitches and Witches Podcast and use the password, which is Giggling Granny, and then agree to the rules, and that's all we ask.
Yes, it's not hard. Join our Patreon. Support us on Patreon so that we can get really good editing software so that you guys will love us and Maddie can get a good microphone because I got one for Christmas.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know the Patreon. You gotta do it.
Oh my god. It's patreon.com/bitches. Go to our website, which is bwpod.weebly.com. You can email us, but if you don't know our email, like we will tell you in a minute, on our website, we have this lovely little contact form that you can fill out and use to email us. It's wonderful.
Yeah, because it's really cool, and Sydney, like, figured out how to do that kind of shit.
Yeah, our website is super shitty. Honestly, I have no idea what I'm doing, but hey, there's one.
We're working on it.
You can also email us literally anything you have to say.
Yeah, the email is b.witchespodcast@gmail.com. You know, send in any listener stories. For listener stories, all we ask is that in the subject you put listener stories, your pronouns, and whether or not we can use your name.
Yes. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts because we want more listeners, guys. We're trying, but we want more. I know we took a break for a long time, but now we're back, hopefully consistently. I start school on Monday, so we'll see how that goes.
I'm so excited for you.
I'm not. I don't go to school
until the 14th.
I'm not excited. I have anxiety.
Get over it, Buttercup.
Okay, anyways, I think that's everything.
Yeah, what the camel, my dude?
I don't know how to put what the fuckulent in here, so what the fuckulent?
Did I fuckulent you up?
Yes. Very fuckulent much. That didn't make sense.
No. Fucking forks. God damn the forks.
Yes. Don't forget to keep it bitchy.
And keep it witchy. Again, I'm sorry.
And goddamn all the forks.
Goddamn all the fucking forks.
Bye.
Bye.